Pascal,
Pascal.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pascal Brasa, the show where two Brasa talk about movie news, shorts,
which are stall trailers.
Reviews and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
It's kind of a special episode.
It really is.
Yeah, it's a milestone shit.
It's a big milestone. First of all, let's say, hi everyone, did y'all miss us?
No, they didn't miss us. We put in leave for last week.
That was approved, so for checking if you're complaining.
We wanted to take off day, but the system didn't allow off day, so we had to put in a full day, and therefore, ego vis-a-vis. We took a day's leave.
But we have exciting news.
We do have exciting news. We are, I would say we joining a team. We're growing.
We are growing.
Yeah. So how do you want to announce this, Jody? We don't have any visual cues, so we can't have like a, there's no fireworks, there's no crickets.
There's nuts. No guy folks here.
So we are officially a part of POC Podcast. That stands for
Persons of Color?
Is it Persons of Color? I thought it was like power over corruption.
It's the People of Color Podcast.
People of Color Podcast. We are officially part of their network. There's some amazing podcasts on that channel, and we join them now.
We are super excited about this.
Super excited.
We are getting access to a whole new audience. We're getting assistance with our production. And hopefully we're going to keep all of you guys our day ones.
Yeah, day one. That's what you are. Day one, brasa.
You guys are the day ones.
Yeah, you fight for us. You like, we just call you in the middle of the night and you're like, Vazala.
You guys are all manskapper.
Manskapper.
And womanskapper, Ross, because...
No, but manskapper, I feel that's a word that kind of covers women now as well.
Peopleskapper.
Yeah, peopleskapper. They, them, us, you.
Personskapper. Anyways, we are super excited about this move.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's a nice step in our little journey that we've got going here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be dope. So, this show is still divided into two segments. First, we do trailers and news, and then we hit you with the review. The review itself is also kind of special this week.
More specialities.
Yo, Brad, this is special galore. This is like Black Friday.
Except nothing is reduced because the podcast is free.
Yeah, and also this is like legit special. It's not like those bullshit take a lot specials where they're like, oh, we increase the price by 100 rand so that we can give you 100 rand discount.
And then you buy.
Did you buy anything on Black Friday?
Bought a pair of shoes, man.
Me too.
It was nice. I'm wearing them right now.
I am not wearing mine.
Can you guys feel them? Can you feel the new shoes?
They are really nice shoes. Uh-huh. They play between casual and smart.
I know.
Just like you said.
There's a word for that. Mm. Smart casual.
Hey. Yo. I thought it was God. Or smashable.
No.
Listen here, go.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Dude.
Trailer options aren't great at the moment, eh?
Yeah, man. Just like 2020 hasn't been great. Trailers
are there's not
great.
Much. In fact, our trailers are popping up from 2017 movies. Phew. So the movie I'm talking about is Chaos Walking, starring Mr. Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley, Mads Mikkelsen, and David Oyelowo. Directed by Doug Liman, who we are both a big fan of, from
Doug
Edge of Tomorrow fame. Dude is like sci-fi boss.
Mm, he's very, very good. Edge of Tomorrow, it wasn't a very popular film, but it was a great film.
Amazing movie. Let me give you all the synopsis of this one. So in Prentice Town, Todd has been brought up to believe that the spackle released a germ that killed all the women and unleashed noise, capital N, on the remaining men. After discovering a patch of silence out in the swamp, his surrogate parents immediately tell him that he has to run, leaving him with only a map of New World, a message, and many unanswered questions. He soon discovers the source of the silence, a girl named Viola.
Okay, after that synopsis, now I realize it's a YA novel.
Yes.
Because the trailer doesn't give you that. I don't feel like YA vibes from the trailer.
But I was very confused. I was
they don't give you much. But this, I mean, Prentice Town.
Yeah, man.
Noise with a capital N. New World with a capital
Capitalized.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are all names of things, and they tend to do that a lot in YA novels. Yeah. Yeah.
You need new names for all these stuff that are...
World building.
Spackle.
So what did you think?
I was really confused. I mean, even looking at the synopsis, I'm still not quite sure what the movie's about. One thing I'm really glad was that Daisy Ridley's got some other work. We mentioned before.
Yeah, but this was 2017.
I know, but it's only coming
out. It ended principal photography in 2017, and then there were reshoots in 2019.
No problems with that. I mean, who ages in 2 years?
Tom Holland. He was like a light team.
I think he puberty in between.
I hope so. His voice must still break.
Yeah, so your balls dropped.
That's not a good sign.
No.
I mean, reshoots 2 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some issues with production, and we didn't know this was actually going to come out. Yeah. And there were rumors, and now we finally get a trailer. So I don't know what the quality of this film is going to be like.
And like I told you, I was confused as hell from the trailer. I could not follow what's going on, what the actual premise is. The cast is like pretty cool though. I mean, it's a pretty top-notch cast. Mads, for me, like makes the trailer. Mads Mikkelsen.
He's mad good.
He just looks legit. Whatever he's doing.
Anything,
cool, I'll watch it for him. But overall, I don't know, man. Where's this movie releasing?
It's supposed to, at the end of the trailer, they said coming soon. So, who's to say? I do like the fact that you can see their thoughts. It's all men on the planet. There's no women. Daisy Ridley pops down from her spaceship. And you can see their thoughts. So I want to see how that plays out. Mm. There's even one part in the trailer where he keeps saying snake, snake, snake.
Yeah, and the snake just...
Physical snake that comes from his thoughts. So,
and it looks like it's a manifestation because... The guy who's riding a horse, both him and his horse react to it.
That's so
it
doesn't seem like you know. Like horses can see it, then you know it's real.
The horses don't look for nothing.
That's true. They're terrified of snakes.
Touches a move of the horse.
They freak me out though, because they're so fucking powerful.
I know. They could like kill you with a...
They can change like Bukan in a second, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, I guess we're both meh about that one.
Quite meh.
Quite meh.
Alrighty.
Let's get into the news. So, as you know, Johnny Depp has come under some little controversy.
Man's got a cloud over his head at the
moment. Yeah, a little bit of a cloud. And it's not from Tim Burton.
No.
Because these movies are quite cloudy.
Not being drawn in there.
So, as you know, Johnny Depp starred in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. He was playing the villain.
Mm-hmm. Grindelwald.
Grindelwald, yes. Didn't come to me immediately, but Joe, that's why Jody's here.
Still not a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, still not a Harry Potter fan. Yeah, but your brain is like a fucking encyclopedia, so that works in my favor. Uh-huh. Then, as you know, he has this running case with his ex-wife, Amber Heard.
Mm.
There was an abuse charge against him, physical and emotional, but... He seemed to come out with videotaped evidence of her abusing him.
Yeah.
And then the public sort of shifted their support towards Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Quite massively recently, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, from what I can tell on Reddit, they still love Johnny Depp and they feel this is an injustice, the story that we're talking about.
What actually happened was The Sun, which is a tabloid newspaper in the UK,
they
called Johnny Depp a wife beater in an article. When the incident broke, like a few years ago, Johnny Depp then sued them for libel because he was claiming that calling me a wife beater is a false accusation and you guys are selling my reputation.
Yeah.
The judge then ruled in the favor of The Sun because, according to the judge, there's enough evidence to support the claim that they made vis-a-vis Johnny Depp is a wife beater.
Yeah.
So when that broke now, there was obviously a lot of uproar over the fact that a studio, is it Warner Brothers was behind?
Yes, Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter. A studio as big as Warner Brothers would then be employing a confirmed in parentheses, wife beater. So that's kind of where that side of it is.
Yeah.
But subsequently, there was also then a lot of evidence, like you said, that it seemed to be that this was just a very physically violent and physically, emotionally, verbally violent relationship between Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Yeah, from outside looking in, it looks like it's kind of coming from both sides.
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, we don't fucking live with him. Fun fact, wife beater is also a name for a vest.
Yes.
Who the fuck came up with that?
Just the look that they all have, apparently.
So due to that fact, and, you know, Warner Brothers making a decision to can Johnny Depp as Grindelwald.
Yeah.
Fire his ass.
Yeah. Did they ask him to step aside or some shit?
You know? They fired him. Yeah. Asking him to step aside.
Same.
Can you please resign? Thank you. Yeah, Johnny Depp is out and Mads Mikkelsen is in.
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
I don't hate it.
But this whole situation stinks to high heaven.
It really does. Look, Mads, I think, he's going to be a good replacement. I think he'll be able to pull off the villain role quite well. The entire situation with what's going on it's a mess.
Yeah.
And I think the studio is trying to, like, show support for people against gender-based violence.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're not having the counter argument, which is that this isn't as straightforward as a man beating a woman. There seems to be a lot going on. So,
and it's also a petition for Amber to lose her job on Aquaman, too. So,
yeah, I think that petition's got, like, quite a few signings.
Yeah, but again, what's your feeling for the reaction of the studio? Do you feel it's justified? Do you feel like they made a mistake? I know I'm putting you on the spot now.
I don't know, because I think what we need to clarify here is that he hasn't been found guilty of beating his wife.
Yeah.
He's been, the newspaper, they said that there's enough evidence to support the newspaper's claim. And like,
it's still a legal ruling
that
doesn't paint him in a good light.
Exactly. And studios nowadays, in light of cancel culture
and
the Me Too movement, they are scared of being on the wrong side, so they will on the side of caution.
We'll see. I know Mads Mikkelsen is going to put in an amazing performance, but we'll see how people support this film. At the end of the day, people are going to vote with their wallets.
Exactly.
Local news. Stir Kenigo has got a drive-in.
Yeah.
I almost said drive-through.
Just imagine the drive-in.
I was like, I'm here to pick up my movie. And they just give
me
like a Blu-ray.
Is not an issue like at all.
Stir Kenigo for this summer has a drive-in. And it's there at the waterfront in Cape Town.
Mm.
One of the most famous places in Cape Town, the Victoria and Alfred waterfront.
Expect a whole lot of babies next year, September.
Hey. No, that's...
You know how people do it.
I know what they do at drive-ins, but I must check the setup first.
That's when mommy and daddy love each other.
Date night. It's in the parking lot, right at the end. They set up a giant LED screen.
Wow.
So it's going to be lekker.
Whoa.
I'm hoping the quality of the picture will be good.
And the Cape Town wind with an LED outside, that seems a bit risky, eh?
Listen, I'm not an engineer. I'm hoping they sorted that shit out.
Imagine you're busy watching the movie.
And the screen.
It's like Michael Bay in real life.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, my word.
Camera pan.
You know, some part of me wishes I can, like, witness a disaster. Kind of.
This fucking year's a disaster.
I know. Just so I can say, like, yo, you know when that thing, like, crashed and killed, like, 5,000 people? I was there.
That's us in future history books. You know that year where the world went to shit and it did nothing?
We're going into another mini lockdown. Watch the space.
Get to the drive-thru while you can.
But you can see their schedule from the site. It's 250 per vehicle for new releases.
That's 250, not 2 rand 50.
No, obviously. What the fuck? If you think that it's 2 rand 50 in this fucking economy and in this day and age, then I simply stop listening to
people
this podcast.
People are going
to
go there and they go, but the boss said it was 2 rand 50.
Right, it was 2 rand 50. Okay, I only got the 2 rand 50 on me.
Can I watch on lay-by?
Yo, that will buy you 30 seconds,
nothing,
my man.
Nothing.
So, 250 per vehicle for new releases. 220 per vehicle for pre-released, and with your 2x regular combos, it is 350 and 320. So extra andhra gets you.
Surely we could just take our own snacks in though, what?
You can take your own snacks and don't call me Shirley.
Oh, Shirley!
No, so I'm sure they can't.
Hashtag Vienna parcel for
the week. Yo, imagine. It's like, it'll take me back to the old days of Kissman. I can take a fucking Gatsby
yeah.
and go watch a movie.
And tip halfway through.
Yeah, but I don't like my car being dirty, eh?
Yeah, I know.
That's a bluff.
No.
Just pick up your
shit. It's on the bonnet, bro. Like a true colored.
And I don't have a system. Like, imagine. You talking about true colors? Mm. Imagine that brass ticket with their fucking
these drop count quiz.
Yes, see,
6x9s
and a 12-inch fucking yo, and they blast that thing.
Yeah, and they're not playing what's on.
They're playing.
This is for my people.
R. Kelly number. What is it? One of the bass. Gum fiesta. He's just clopping for you while you're trying to watch Infinity War. God, man. But there's some old movies, there's some new movies. Go check it out.
Yeah,
I'm going to go. I think we're thinking of doing Endgame.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, man. So we might go watch
Endgame. Chunky's a bit in the car.
Yeah, I love a good cry in
yeah,
the
man.
Car. Shit, that's why. If you ever at work and you feel you must cry, go to your car. Go to the bathroom, go to the toilet. Mm. Never cry. At work.
Yeah. That's don't let them see you weak, bro.
Don't let them see you. They're going to... The vultures are going to come.
That's the Bioscope, bro. So, what's your top work advice for this week?
Nice. No, my top work advice. Don't cry at the office. You and I. We've spoken a ton about Adam Sandler.
Right? Have we?
We have. As you know, we reviewed Hubie Halloween.
Yes.
One of our top performing episodes.
No, it was not. You guys did not like that.
We did not like that. But in that episode, we kind of discussed what our thoughts are on Adam Sandler and his popularity and his deals with Netflix and how he gets this right. How he keeps creating bad movies and, you know, getting money for it, basically. So, Netflix is quite tight with their numbers, right?
Yeah, they don't put anything out.
They don't.
There's no, like, viewership. We don't know how many people view, like, any movies or series at all.
But somehow they got hold of these numbers.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was released or Cinema Blend has some amazing detectives. Mm. But according to Cinema Blend, are you sitting down?
I'm just comfortable.
Okay. Not only is Hubie Halloween their best performing and most popular film for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix users have watched over 2 billion hours of Adam Sandler content.
So that's 2 billion.
2 billion hours.
How? How?
It's like over 200,000 years.
Of people watching Adam Sandler. So Ross, I've got a theory.
Hit me.
Adam Sandler's movies are the type of film that we've seen, most of us have seen at like most of his movies.
Yeah.
I think his films are the type of films that people just put on for background noise.
Yeah.
And I think that like
Netflix and chill.
Yeah. They Netflix and chill and Adam Sandler's playing in the back and they are chilling.
They're playing in the front.
Yeah. I cannot fathom that so many people would love Adam Sandler's movies that much that you... 2 billion.
2 billion. It's such a big number. 2 billion, dude.
That's insane.
That's such a long time. And
we know he's popular. Right?
That's not the America only.
No, that's worldwide.
That's worldwide. Yeah. So like he's touching people.
Well, think of it this way. If we have like we're over 6 billion people now, but if we're talking about like six billion people.
Big maths coming up.
A third of those people have seen an hour of Adam Sandler's movies.
Yes.
One third of the world, the entire world's population, has seen an hour of Adam Sandler's movies.
Yeah, but is it worth it?
No. I can answer that for you right now. No.
I will only watch the older ones. But yo, these new ones and 2 billion hours.
Yo, guys.
And previously...
There's better stuff, man. there's better stuff.
The previous year, it was Murder Mystery, which was the most popular movie.
And not a bad film.
Not the terrible film,
but Hubie Halloween.
Yeah.
It's legit trash.
Yo. This Netflix deal is going to carry on for as long as they can.
This is going to become in perpetuity thing.
Adam Sandler is going to be the face of Netflix.
Yeah, he's
going
to get a lifetime deal with him.
Yeah.
Clearly, whatever it is that he's doing works.
Mm.
They don't care. It's low budget.
Yeah.
They're going to keep pumping these things out, bruh.
Yeah, for sure.
Forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
It's time for a Bicycle Battle!
So we mentioned that we were really excited about our new thing that we are doing today.
So excited.
We have our first battle episode!
Battle episode!
AKA a battle!
Bicycle Battle!
We are going to take two films, an original and a remake. We've watched both of them. We're going to compare them and tell you which one is going to be put to death and never watched again. And which one is the winner of the battle.
Yeah, yeah. So this is our first in that series.
Yeah.
We're going to do a few more coming up. Which movies are we doing today, Joey?
Mulan, the animated version from 1998. And Mulan, the live action version from 2020. So let's start off with the original version. Mulan from 1998 starred Ming-Na Wen as the voice of Mulan, Eddie Murphy
for some reason
as Mushu, as well as B.D. Wong and Pat Morita. Pat Morita from
Legend,
Karate Kid fame. This movie was directed by Tony Bancroft and Barry Cook, who haven't directed many films but have worked on a lot of Disney things. Mm. A ton of Disney stuff.
Especially with the animated stuff, they get like people that they work with constantly.
Yeah, if you're in the system, you're going to direct something at some point.
in the HR system.
You're delivering coffee one week, directing a movie the next. So this one is about young Mulan, who is distraught to learn that her weak father must join the army to fight the invading Huns. Unwilling to endanger his life, she disguises herself as a man and joins the army in his place. And all of this is based on The Ballad of Mulan by Guo Maiquin.
I am so happy I don't know how to say these names.
Yo, Russ, you want to tell us about the original and your thoughts?
You know, animation has a special place in my heart. Yeah. I love animation. And especially in the 90s, it hit me at the right time.
Yes.
So this movie itself, I do like this movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The animation is really, really good. I feel like the way they move, the way the characters express themselves, everything is communicated so well.
Yeah.
The fear, the laughter, the happiness, all that jazz. The music, that's one of my favorite things. And that you don't get all the time. And
yes.
I'm not a fan of musicals, right?
No.
I fucking hate musicals.
We're aware.
But Disney animation gets a break from me.
Yeah. The balance is there.
It is there. Shout out Reflections.
Ooh.
That shit bangs, bro. I love that song.
Can I tell you a secret?
You can tell me anything you want.
I didn't know Reflections was from Mulan. So as I was watching,
you just enjoyed the song.
As I was watching, I'm like, yo, these bastards are stealing the song.
Yeah, Reflections is from Mulan, bro. That song slaps. Also, shout out, I'll Make a Man Out of You. Amazing.
Definitely.
And last shout out is A Girl Worth Fighting For.
Yes.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
An example of the animation being good is the avalanche scene.
Yes. Loved it.
Loved it. Because there was when they started mixing a little bit of 3D with the 2D.
Yeah.
And the climax itself just has so much impact. So are we going to go into the story a bit?
Yeah. I think let's dive into the story. Yeah. Look, the original is a really old film. So we're going to have spoilers
go.
And surprise, surprise, I have not actually watched the original Mulan. It was one of the Disney films from the 90s that I missed completely. And then just never went back to. When I put this on, I actually felt warm and happy seeing the animation. It's like this total nostalgia just overcame me seeing that type of animation again after so long, because we don't see it anymore. There's very few films that come out with like that animation. I think that the characters were brilliantly expressive. Even watching their mouth movements.
Yeah.
It feels like they're saying the words. It's not just random open type of thing. The story for me is both topical and still interesting, and unfortunately still relevant.
That is 1998.
That's 1998. I don't know when the original Ballad came out. I imagine it's based on like the 1800s or some shit.
Yeah.
So the fact that all of this is still relevant and topical now is quite an indictment on society. And I felt very sad that I didn't see this when I was younger. That I didn't see it as part of my, like, Aladdin and Lion King and all those other things that came out back then.
VHS, baby.
I really like the humor in the animation. I feel that it made the story quite relatable for the target audience, which was younger kids back then when it came out. But for me now, as an adult coming into it, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I think that the story then was easier to give to the audience. Which, I mean, it's a very complex thing that they're giving us, right?
Like, it is.
Issues around patriarchy, gender roles, all of that type of thing. The music that you mentioned as well. I feel like the Reflections are so underrated.
Oh, such a good song.
It's not something that, in my, from my perspective, is discussed in the same breath as like A Whole New World or Beauty and the Beast or any of those movies.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
It's just as iconic. As we dive into the story, we mentioned now there's some really important themes that come up, like the role of women in society, you know, just patriarchy in general, and like men having all the say and all of those types of things.
Yeah.
Really heavy topics for, it's heavy, for kids.
I mean, a woman's role is to find a man.
Yeah.
That's it.
You are groomed for marriage.
That's
the best thing you can do for your family.
So creepy. And for us to look at it now, obviously that's how life was back then. But like for this, like you said, to be shown to kids in 1998 is like hectic.
Yeah.
For all the, you know, Disney's faults, they are very good at female characters.
Yeah.
And this is one of them.
It's one of the strongest ones. And in fact, this one, for me, ended up being a precursor for things like Frozen and things like Moana, where you have these really, like, expressly and vividly strong female lead characters in the stories. Mulan fits right in with all of that, for me, in my opinion.
No, Mulan is an important story.
Yeah.
And I understand why they tried to redo it in 2020.
Yeah.
But let's not get into
let's
that.
Let's not get into it yet.
What are your thoughts on Mushu?
It hit me from left field. I went into this blind. So I did not know that Eddie Murphy had this movie.
In an Asian tale.
And when I heard his voice, I'm like, pretty sure that's Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that is. You can't.
He started to talk to someone like, that's Eddie Murphy.
Hey, man, it's me. Like, it's jarring at first.
Yeah, and then I was like, what the fuck is Eddie Murphy doing in this movie? So, Ross, maybe you can explain Mushu's character, just in case anyone hasn't seen this.
Mushu belongs to kind of the ancestors, right?
Yeah,
the spirit of the actual family. And there's a number of them, but he's not looked at as an official
guardian.
Yeah.
In fact, he's been cast down.
Yes. His one job is to, like, awaken the others.
Yeah. So he's trying to kind of, like, earn his stripes.
Yeah.
In the story.
By assisting Mulan in her path, in her journey, and bringing honor to the family name, which is a big thing in yours, is honor and, you know, the name of your family and the legacy and so on.
Mm.
He kind of irritated me a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, even on my second watch, I watched it as a kid. I see as a kid that he won't be irritating.
Yeah.
He's the comic relief and he's supposed to make jokes and be funny and all the shit. So you kind of enjoy that. But watching it now, it
takes you,
like,
out of the story.
Yeah. It's like, fuck, bro.
And you know what's the other negative that it had for me? Is that it somehow emphasized Ming-Na Wen's blandness. Because I feel as though, like, her voice work in this wasn't great. I felt like Mulan could have been played by someone who was a lot more expressive.
I do agree.
And unfortunately, with Eddie being that, like, hyperverbal, you know, the up-down with his personality.
You can actually hear that he's going tight in the studio, like he's moving.
And then her complete monotone in relation to him, I feel like it exacerbates the effect of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think Ming-Na Wen was great, and I think it's
even Ming-Na Wen, though.
In general, she's a fantastic actress,
but not in this wasn't the best one.
No.
The song, I'll Make a Man Out of You, that's one of my favorite moments, because it shows the progression, not only of the army and how they train and how they learn how to fight, but how she adapts to become like a formidable warrior, which is amazing, because she's physically not as strong as the men, obviously, so she has to be smarter about it. The use of the weights to climb the pole and stuff like that. I love that. By the end of the song, she's sitting on top of the pole and she throws the arrow down.
I mean,
it's such a cool moment.
It's a full Rocky montage. 100%, for that training scene.
I am here for montages. You know this, bro.
Love our montages.
Love montages.
So I agree with you. And then with it popping up again at the end when they're climbing the pillars to go and save the emperor.
Yeah, full circle.
It's a really cool, yeah, it's full circle because there they're following her lead, right?
Yeah.
The other soldiers embrace her as like one of them. They know she's a woman, but they still respect her as a warrior. So.
Yeah, in the Avalon scene, which is also amazing. Brilliant. Her using her smarts to figure out they have one more, one... Oh, I was going to say cracker.
Widowmaker.
They have one like cannon left and using it to cause the avalanche. Mm. Like just her being smarter,
yeah,
but being forced to be smarter because she has to compensate.
Yeah.
And they seeing it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love this character.
Yeah. Because she had all that pressure to like shoot the guy right in front of her. And she's like, I can take out the whole army instead.
Yeah, even Mushu says, you missed him.
You missed him.
Yeah, you missed him. As he's fucking flying into the thing. I like the captain.
Yeah, captain's character was really cool.
Captain's cool.
And also something that doesn't translate directly to the 2020 version. It's like done differently there. Like the captain stuff.
We'll get into that.
Get there later. What do you think of the bad guys? The Hun.
Yeah. I liked him.
Yeah.
Super scary. Mm. Just the way they illustrated him is just so imposing and dark. And the way he's hunched over and his long nails.
Don't you think he looks like that DC character? What's his name?
Lobo.
Lobo. Yeah. No, they like Lobo. That was really like,
you never know. Inspiration there. Inspiration there. So, but he was, every time he came on screen, it's like, you know, he stole the show and he's like, his motivations are legit and well-rounded villain for an animated form.
It's just very well done all round in terms of thinking of your audience. Your villains look imposing.
Yeah.
You immediately know they're a villain just from seeing them.
Character design is important.
Yeah.
You could tell even from the design itself it was Asian.
Mm.
Not only the architecture and the wardrobe and so on. I'll say wardrobe, they're just drawing.
No, they draw a wardrobe for them.
Yeah, but the character design, the shapes of their bodies and the shapes of their heads, like, took inspiration from the right things, man.
Yeah. You want to move on to 2020?
I don't know.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
We were so happy.
We were happy. Mulan 2020.
2020 starring Liu Yifei, Jet Li, and Donnie Yen.
Don't even talk to me about Jet Li and Donnie Yen.
Absolute legends.
Anyway. Wasted.
So this one was directed by Nicky Caro, who also directed Whale Rider. Which was the New Zealand movie, the movie from New Zealand based on a girl in Maori culture who also has to like...
Who rides whales.
Yes, and that's also like a patriarchal thing, right?
Yeah.
No shit, she rides whales.
Yeah, like, that was a guess.
And then also the zookeeper's wife in McFarlane, USA.
Okay.
So in this one, the synopsis says that to save her ailing father from serving in the Imperial Army, a fearless young woman disguises herself as a man to battle northern invaders in China. I'd like to also... name and somewhat shame the cinematographer in this one. Mandy Walker, whose work with Baz Luhrmann, one of our favorites.
Yeah.
Favorite.
Favorite's a strong word. I don't like everything he's done.
Not bad. He's a bit hit and miss.
You're a Moulin Rouge fan, eh?
His good stuff is
you're
really
a Moulin Rouge fan. Because you can. Yeah. It's sad. I hate that movie.
Anyways. She was involved with Australia, the big epic that bombed, and she's also currently working on an Elvis biopic with him.
Oh.
I think the cinematographer was miscast.
Yeah, fuck, man. But you can tell that she worked with Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
Because Baz Luhrmann creates those worlds that feel kind of not real.
Yes.
That's how this feels.
Yes.
It's like kind of not real. What's the point of doing a live action if your world doesn't feel
real? So let's... I think at this point we are going to start doing some comparisons. Because we've now spoken about...
Yeah,
the original.
I'm gonna compare this. Every fucking point I make is gonna compare
a comparison.
This movie. First comparison.
Yeah. Get to my number one.
Mulan has the gift of chi.
Is that how she doesn't fall?
That's how she. It's magical powers. That's how she does everything. But her giant struggle is that she mustn't let it be shown because then people are going to think she's a witch.
Nice.
That's the worst thing.
Yeah.
That's like a great shame.
Do they burn you with a piece of steak?
No, fuck. No. With a piece of steak.
So
on the steak. It's not a fucking witch barbecue, right? There's no two birds, one stone.
Hang away with any piece of meat. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that she's just got these. The reason why she can do things is because she's been gifted with this chi.
Yeah.
That's not much of a struggle for me.
I know, and it's also not... I don't understand how relevant it is to the story. I mean, later on, I guess they try and build a connection with the witch character, is also a bit new.
Yeah, because the witch character, she's new, right? And she fully embraces her chi.
Yes.
But the level of chi, her level of chi, and fucking Mulan's level...
Her chi is on...
that chi is...
Top level chi there.
She's Brie. Primo chi.
She's Brie.
Done. Yeah.
And Mulan is like Gouda.
Yeah, but then like budget Gouda is like fucking 10 rand a kilo.
Goes off after 2 days.
No, so...
I don't feel like they figured out what they want to do or how they want to tell the story.
They had the original story and they're like, ugh, we can't do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to change a few things.
Yeah.
And they made fucking bad decisions.
Yeah.
Was Jet Li's voice dubbed?
I didn't know it was Jet Li. I saw who stars in this movie and I'm like, where's Jet Li? Is he gonna come through later? And then I realized, oh,
that was not Jet Li's voice. And he's wasted.
He's very wasted.
Donnie Yen wasted. You have two of the greatest kung fu action stars of all time.
Ever. Not just like in China or wherever.
Ever. And they don't do great kung fu.
No.
But in general, the fight choreography is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, the wire work in this movie, another thing that is off.
Yeah, but it's not even off. It was chi.
Oh.
That's why they could get away with this shitty wire work, because it was magical. But also, either fully embrace the magic or don't embrace the magic.
Yes.
Like, you can't have the one character be super magical, but then you don't have a Mushu dragon guy.
Yeah.
Instead, they have the Phoenix.
Yeah, that Phoenix was... if you talk about a waste of money, because I'm assuming it cost a lot of money to animate CG. That thing, right? Why was it there? I know that the father explains that it's like the herald of their family. But why? It literally serves no purpose. At no point does it inspire. We have like the really on the nose, like, hey, she's resurrected, where the phoenix lines up behind her and the wings flare out.
Yeah.
And she's standing right in front of it, so it looks like she's a phoenix.
Yeah.
I'm like, but that analogy for me doesn't work, because the whole point of a phoenix is that it's a bird that rises from the ashes. That's resurrected. How was she resurrected in this movie?
She's
supposed to be the Phoenix.
She just decided to stop being a man.
But there's no resurrection. There's transformation, but there's no resurrection here.
That's also one of my issues, right? So in the animated movie, there's the scene where she's getting dolled up to be, you know?
Yeah, when she has to go to the matchmaker.
Exactly. And then there's the scene where she decides to take her father's place.
Yes.
That's quite a powerful scene, right? Because she puts on the armor and she looks at the sword and all that. That doesn't happen in this movie. The amazing thing about those two scenes is the
juxtaposition.
Exactly, of the two. She's being dressed up against her will. At first, she looks uncomfortable. This is all happening around her. And then the choice that she makes to put that armor on. And that's quite a poignant moment.
Yeah.
It's powerful. It's supposed to have an impact.
It's the whole crux of the movie, right?
Exactly. And it doesn't even happen in the 2021.
Yeah.
She decides to put on the armor. And then all of a sudden, she's got the armor on.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, why didn't you just take the time? You have more time. This is a two-hour movie.
The movie is 2 hours and the original is an hour.
Why didn't you have that fucking moment?
Yeah, I think, again, just it's a shitty decision.
Wasted, man.
The one that, for me, bombed the biggest in terms of switch was the avalanche that you already mentioned as well.
Word.
I mean, in the animated one, the avalanche makes sense.
Yes.
Like, she uses the last rocket, she aims for it, she shoots it.
Yeah.
The contrivance of the avalanche in the live action one makes no sense.
She teleports also. How did she appear behind them?
She whistles, the horse comes, and then magically she's all the way there without being shot at. They shoot a few arrows at her, right? Mm. And we see that they're super accurate because they shoot all those helmets and they don't miss anything. Then they bring the bloody, the catapult thing with the rock that's on fire, and they miss it by like 1,000 kilometers.
Look, they're good at arrows, all right? They're not good at catapults.
But apparently that was her plan. Because She looks at the mountain with all the snow and she's like, I'm going to go like wherever to this ridge and I'm going to shoot them from there. And then they're going to take the catapult and misfire completely and cause the avalanche, which she like measures by like putting her hand on the ground. The scene didn't make sense. I felt like they wanted to somehow bring the avalanche in, but they couldn't figure out how to do it, so they just made a totally nonsensical scene to bring that in.
Which was disappointing. It was so disappointing. I have a question. What did you think about the witch sacrificing herself for Formula and in order for her to, you know... She basically crawled so that Mulan could run.
Yeah, could fly.
Fly, the fucking Phoenix.
I don't know.
Was that necessary?
Yeah, I don't think it was. Because it's almost like it took away some of Mulan's agency. In that Mulan was overcoming everything herself. And like she then became the main warrior. I don't quite know how the witch suddenly explained to main baddie that Mulan is the leader of the army and all of that. Because... I don't know when that happened. I felt like Donnie Yen was still there.
it's odd.
So it was odd.
The editing is odd.
Yeah. But I felt like that scene was just weird also because they hinted that the witch had some mixed allegiances because she didn't fully agree with
some
the
conflict.
Thing.
In her, yeah.
And but then suddenly she's like, oh, I want Mulan to live because I don't know. So it didn't really make sense. So the witch was probably like the analog for Mushu in the end, right? Because Mushu was totally taken out of this. There's no... The Phoenix isn't Mushu anymore.
There's no dragon voiced by a black American comedian.
Yeah. And the witch kind of then almost takes on the otherworldly aspects which Mushu would have brought in.
Yeah.
But I feel as though her character was so confused and so... Like, they really didn't know what to do with her. But they wanted her to have the heroic switch in the end and just decided to do that. Mm. So again, another thing that... It didn't really make sense to me.
Didn't at all. And that also leads into a very disappointing climax battle.
Yeah, with I called it, is it, do you call it an arrow oop?
Yeah, an arrow oop. Yeah, yeah.
When you toss the arrow in the air.
Sets it up and she just spikes it on. Boom. And he tries to catch it, but he fucking misses.
Because she kicked it this time.
Yeah.
If you fire it with a really taut string.
If you fire it with something that it was designed for, you know, designed to launch it at full capacity.
Yeah.
That's not
catch it every time.
Yep.
But if she kick it,
it's a cheeky too.
Yeah. She twinned it.
Twinned it. He couldn't touch it.
Couldn't touch it.
Whack. Wiggity, 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 whack.
Really whack.
Again, this flying bullshit, bad fight choreography.
Really bad.
It was boring.
Yeah. And like we said, they've wasted the talents of two of the biggest action stars ever.
Even Jason Scott Lee, he can kick things.
I loved him in Dragon of Bruce Lee's story.
So he's got some physicality there. He can do this stuff.
Yeah, but they have absolutely nothing to do. They have like a 2-minute sword fight, which isn't really a sword fight, and then just like arrow oop into the heart.
How did this come to be, do you think? How did they get there?
Disney's just working their way through like every
demolishing everything. No, but the choices that they made, you know? Like, with Lion King, at least, that people do think that's a bad thing, possibly, but they stuck mainly to the original story.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one that you could have kind of done that as well.
Well, look, part of the issue is that Jungle Book was so successful and so well done, right? Mm-hmm. The animated to the live action.
Yeah, but John Favreau.
I know, but he was involved with Lion King, which we don't quite...
That is true.
Not on the same level. But because it worked there, now they're like, we have a built-in audience. All we're doing is like modernizing the existing property.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to want to watch for like, even if it's just for the curiosity factor. Disney's going to keep doing this. They are going to keep doing it. And also the China market is massive.
Yeah, but this didn't make a lot of money. This film isn't without sins as a film, but there was some stuff going on in the background.
Yeah.
So, the actress, say her name again?
Liu Yifei.
Perfect, every time, Jordan. Mm-hmm. She made some comments that were pro the Chinese police who were battling the Hong Kong protests.
Yes.
Hong Kong, as you know, is kind of fighting for their freedom.
Mm-hmm.
China is slowly but surely taking control. Mm-hmm. They kind of have a lot of control over Hong Kong. And a lot of the youngsters especially are fed up and are fighting them. I'm not going to go into the full details of how this started, but the protests are still happening.
Yes.
To this day.
And the lead actress, as you said, tweeted something where she's like pro-police instead of like most of the world outside of China.
Free Hong Kong. Exactly. The hashtag was Free Hong Kong.
And how long before the movie did she do that? Was it like...
It was months, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
It wasn't long before the movie. And people were like... You got a movie coming out? Fuck your movie, man!
And remember, this movie was the movie Disney was planning to release just before COVID.
Yeah.
Or, like, when COVID kicked in, this movie was supposed to come out at that time.
Yeah.
And Disney subsequently then made the decision to release this on Disney Plus.
Yes. So, if you look at the numbers, it cost $200 million to make.
It's a lot of money.
Where was it? Where was the money?
I don't know.
It wasn't in the cinematography.
It really wasn't.
But it only made 69.
Fun for everyone.
Only made 69 million before it went on to streaming service, obviously.
And the controversy obviously played a role there.
Yeah, because it didn't do well in China.
Mm-hmm. People got pissed about something else as well. So, you know, in films, when they shoot... they've got different locations. This movie was mainly shot in New Zealand, but also they had some location scenes in China, including regions which are currently being accused of heavily,
concentration camps, basically.
Yeah, they're being accused of having concentration camps against the Uyghurs, Muslim people in that region. So, again, we're not going to dive into all of that, but what happened then was that Disney included in their credits thank yous to those locations.
Yeah.
Which people felt was like a shout out.
Yeah.
shout out,
China.
To a region that's being accused of some pretty atrocious things.
Yeah. I mean, China's not known for their...
their soft hand.
Yeah. They
have no soft skills.
Never mind an iron hand in a velvet glove. They just all iron. That was a close one. Yo,
fun.
My laptop almost fucking shut down while we were recording now.
That would have been fun.
Woolly,
So, I like the ending of the live action. But I think it's impacted for me by the fact that I like the narration. So, what's the father's name again?
Yeah, he's telling the story.
He's the guy that's in Rush Hour as well. He's done.
Yeah, but all the actors, even the mother, she is also a prominent Asian actor.
Yes. Tsima, who's like been in so many films. He's in over 120 when I check. And I love his narration in this film. I think that him as a father is really good. He conveys the difficulty of having a daughter who's going completely against the grain, but still loving your child and wanting her to succeed.
Favorite scene is when she tries to question him and he bangs the table like that.
Powerful.
So powerful.
Yeah. Because he's so restrained throughout.
Yeah.
Right? So I love his narration, and I think that his narration makes that ending of the live action really powerful, and quite like poignant for me compared with the animated version. I'm only talking about that specific scene, not about it as a whole.
Yeah, because I don't think the animated version needs narration.
Mm.
And it just hit home a bit harder for me.
Yeah.
Even her friends. Man. The friends around her.
I love them. The supporting cast in the animator.
Yeah,
so
they were
better.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The grumpy little guy that smokes way too much cigarettes.
The guy with the blue eye. The blue eye throughout.
Yeah. He just...
The huge little baby dude.
The huge little baby guy who calms him down. I mean, when you introduce to him, he's like super angry. And he's just like singing his song. And the guy like calms down. Amazing.
Yeah, I love them.
They were really cool. And you don't get that from the live action.
Agreed.
Did you Cricket is a man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did you see?
No.
In the live action one, he introduces himself as Cricket.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
So they got rid of the Cricket, but they brought in a man named Cricket.
Did you see Ming-Na Wen's cameo in the live action?
No.
So when Mulan when she comes back to the emperor, when she's being introduced in front of all of the people, Ming-Na Wen is the person who introduces her to the emperor.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He's like, wow, Mulan. I was like, they managed to give her a cameo in this one. I mean, she could have surely played like the mother or something.
Yeah, she could have.
Right? Just a random bit of trivia there.
No, that's fine. Thank you for that. I didn't spot that.
Do you think we're at a point where we can call this one? Do we have the results of our bicycle battle?
Bicycle battle. Yeah, I think we got the results.
Yeah, it's not going to be a surprise.
It's, well, it might be. Because, look, there are people who love the live action remake.
Not that many. No, not this one.
Like, legit. Like, even some people I talk to.
Okay. You need to talk to better people.
No, no, I've stopped talking to
them.
We are no longer in contact. But, yeah, for me, I sentence Mulan 2020 to death.
I concur.
Nice.
We shall never watch it again.
We shall never watch it again. I've watched it fucking 3 times.
Now. That's 3 times too many. Long live Mulan 1998.
Long live Mulan 1998. Yeah, Mushu is problematic, but fuck it. Don't butt fuck it. I mean, butt fuck it.
Don't butt fuck it. Just don't.
Yo, so that's our first Bioscope battle. Mm-hmm. The winner is clear.
Definitely. And Mulan 1998 original is best, yo.
I will watch it again and we will enjoy Reflections again.
We will.
We will. Well, I can't sing too much of it, else we have to pay. And Disney, they don't fuck around with it.
They
come for their money. Are there any shout-outs this week?
Ooh, I'd like to give a special shout-out this week to Mischief Mayhem and Mommy, aka Shiamare, who's been following us for quite some time now and who is always commenting on our posts. Thank you for the follow. Guys, give her page a follow as well. It's a super interesting mommy blog that she's got going. Check her out on Instagram.
I've got a shout out for Tony Maneo on Instagram. Yeah. Adley, thanks, man. Thanks for the support. We really appreciate it. He's always commenting. Some of his suggestions are dodge.
Yeah, really dodge. I'm not going to watch any of those films. Fun fact, he is our literal day one. He was our first father one.
Oh, that is really?
Yeah.
Yo, so extra super double happiness shout out for Adley.
Mm-hmm.
First fucking day one, bruh.
Day one.
Nice, love it. Tell the people where they can find us, Jody.
Guys, let us know what you thought about this special Bioscope Battle episode. Hit us up on email, bioscopebrassapodcast@gmail.com.
Why don't people email us?
I don't know.
We tell them every week.
We haven't gotten one email yet.
God, I'm tired of it. Just do what we ask you to do.
Or follow our Instagram page, bioscopebrassapodcast on Instagram. Hit us up in the comments.
That's right. So until next time, everyone stay safe. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ralph.